Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At least 20 people are dead in Ukraine following a massive Russian air attack. The BBC's James Waterhouse.
This morning, there were three very loud, very powerful explosions. We, like so many others across the country, headed to the shelter below. This is a coordinated attack by Russia. There is no doubt about that.
Israel is ratcheting up its attacks in the north. CBS's Ian Lee is in Tel Aviv.
Thick gray smoke spells trouble on the border with Lebanon. Signs Israel's patience is wearing thin, warns the country's war cabinet. But Hezbollah isn't blinking. It fires into Israel and says it's ready for more.
Dangerous waves in California, Justin Shore with San Francisco Fire.
These are epic surf conditions, high swells. We've got waves coming in directions we're not used to them coming. Even the most seasoned swimmer and surfer, this is dangerous water.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Abortions are back on again at Planned Parenthood's clinic in Sheboygan after being suspended out of concern over state law. Sheboygan County's district attorney says he won't press charges, but he is appealing a judge's ruling that Wisconsin law bans feticide and not consensual abortions. The flu, RSV, and COVID-19 are still running high in Wisconsin. Dr. Tom Haupt is Wisconsin's chief epidemiologist.
There's no indication that there's any kind of plateau going on, that we are leveling out. Everything is still on a pretty steep increase over the past few weeks.
Two children under the age of five died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The town of Washington is pushing for a state bill that could bring protections for municipalities facing annexation. The town of Washington and city of Eau Claire recently settled a contentious plan for the city to annex a plot of land near Deerfield Road for the Orchard Hills housing development. The bill would create an urban town designation for towns like Washington, which would make them exempt from extraterritorial zoning by nearby cities. The bill is currently with the Committee on Transportation and Local Government. Employment data in Wisconsin is looking good heading into 2024. According to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, coming into December, the state had an unemployment rate of 3.3%, well lower than the national average of 3.7%. Data is still being collected for December, but in November, Wisconsin had over 3 million people working and 1,700 employees were added to the workforce. The biggest concern for the state's workforce heading into 2024 is a lack of people to fill open jobs. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the border battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 39 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest becoming westerly at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy, 34, with some scattered light snow showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingers. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, I normally say we made it to Friday, but this time we made it to the end of 2023.
You got big plans, huh?
No, not really.
Oh. Well, Sandy, I can't hear you.
My bad.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can. Now we can.
Oh. Well, I said, right, I think we're kind of limping into the end of 2023. This is not we're not ending this year on a particularly positive note.
Well, Sandy, I've got to say.
However, I came in this morning thinking I would be doing this show with Earl Ingram, but I'm sitting across from someone who still looks about 15 years younger than Earl Ingram. I think it's Earl's younger brother, Ernie Ingram. Earl lost a bet, people. Earl lost a bet to Gilbert Brown, and he indicated that he would dye his beard and hair.
Gilbert, that was Gilbert's.
Yeah. That was Gilbert's demand.
Yeah,
that you would dye your hair back to its youthful, vigorous black, and you did that, and it was growing out, Earl. And I'm here this morning and here to say, Ernie's back.
So, Sandy, are you?
Is this? Have you been reading Vanity Fair?
Well. Are you insinuating
mm-hmm.
that moi?
Yeah.
Is spending time looking in the mirror and admiring, you know, the fact that 15 years have been taken off my life.
It's not just an insinuation. It's an assumption that something has grabbed a hold of you. I know you tell me that your better half does this to you, but I don't think she has to handcuff you.
Well, if I said to you, Sandy, that I haven't had people say,
mm-hmm.
man, it looks pretty good, man.
You've had people say that?
Absolutely. Well, you really look younger.
People have to say that, Earl. You know, you can't look at someone who's done something. You know, if you dye your hair pink, people would tell you it was looking great.
Hey, Sandy, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you dye yours black? And
Yeah. It's not an idea.
Maybe brown.
Brown.
Or maybe blonde.
Gone back to blonde.
Well, do it. What did Trump call his strawberry blonde? That's right.
Orange? I can go for a tangerine color.
Yeah, I think strawberry blonde will work, you know, fine. Remember when Trump took his wanted poster? I mean, his not wanted
campaign.
Poster. No, when he was going to jail, and they were his mugshot.
Oh, mugshot, yeah.
And he dyed it strawberry blonde.
Mm.
That would look good on you, strawberry blonde.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Well, so I'm caught between this rock and a hard place.
Well, I think you look mighty fine, Earl. I think you do. I just don't go out in the rain. you don't want to be the next Rudy Giuliani.
Well,
this is good stuff, right?
My wife, you know,
she knows what she's doing.
Stuff, but yeah. You know, she's already told me several times. Mm-hmm. You better watch how you do things around here, because I'm the person who's in charge of that. And so she could, sabotage.
Well, I don't care what everyone else is saying, Earl. I think you look great.
Oh, wow, man. Looking great and feeling great. If I had a choice between the two.
Yeah.
Let me take the feeling great. But anyway, got a lot to talk about, Sandy. It's the end of, almost the end of the first quarter century of the 21st century.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that, I mean, quarter century.
You know, and it's interesting because it was a century that started on such an upbeat note. You know, the 90s were such an ebullient period of good feelings. The end of the Cold War, beginning of what seemed like democracy in Russia, Nelson Mandela, South Africa. Just everything was cresting in the world. The EU had formed and was operating what seemed like in breakthrough fashion. There was really a great deal of hope. Then we had, immediately after the turn of the century, we had 2001, 9/11, and things began to go downhill at that point. And then we had the financial crisis of 2007. So, you know, so far the first quarter has been a rocky period. Let's put it that way.
You know, and you and I, you know, couldn't have even envisioned, you know, 2025, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I wasn't, it wasn't on my planning horizon.
No. And so the things that have happened, technology and what it's wrought for many of us and, has been beneficial in many ways. Man, I never would have imagined myself running around with this phone in my hand.
Yeah, 100% of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, not just carrying the phone around waiting for a phone call, but using the phone for any and all things. You know, you can't buy a product today that doesn't require that you go to the app store, download an application so that you can interface with the smart aspect of whatever it is, your new refrigerator, your whatever.
You know, Sandy, if we're able to envision another quarter century in 2050 coming up, can you imagine the technology and where the world is going to be if the people of the world can realize that we can't be our own worst enemies?
You know, I just had a vision of this being the 2025 being the halftime of a football game. The first half has gone badly.
Yeah.
And we're the coach. And we're sitting there and we're saying, look, guys, we made some bad choices that first half. We didn't execute well. We didn't listen to our training, and we made some bad choices and things have not gone well. But you know what? All we have to do is make the right choices and execute, and the second half will look much different. And, you know, that is possible. You know, we can look backwards and say, look at all the bumps in the road we've had in the first 25 years. You know, yes, people can point at the stock market, and yes, people can point at the economy and say, those are all positives. Yep, you know, but we came out of the ashes in 2012 where our economy was in the toilet. And everyone is not sharing in the economy in the world. We've got mass migrations, people leaving something that they think is awful to try and find something better. In this country, we've got lots of people not sharing in the prosperity. And we have a great deal of volatility in our society. All of these are based on choices that were made, and we can make the right choices.
Well, Sandy, I don't think the American people as a whole understand the inner workings of government. Not just America, but peoples across the earth don't understand the connection of government and their lives. And it becomes more and more complex and more distanced away from the people themselves and their lives. And so how do we get that back?
Well,
have we ever had that?
Well, I think what you're describing is this concept that people don't feel that the government relates to them and that they can do anything about the government, okay? And in a democracy, that's definitely not the way it's supposed to feel. In an autocracy, that would be the way it would be designed to feel. In the autocracy, the people who are submitting to it are doing it because they hope that the autocrat is a benign, benevolent, smart individual who's going to do everything that's good for them and for the country. That's a very, very rare phenomena. Those people don't tend to exist. Absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely. But in a democracy, it's supposed to feel like you've got capacity to make things different. And I'm afraid in America, there's an increasing number of people who don't feel that way. And it's created this movement towards what people call populism. And of course, Donald Trump is the arch populist. He's the figurehead of populism in this country right now. My view of populism is it's really just another word for anti-establishment. And it's the people who feel like the establishment has let them down. What is the establishment? I think mainly the establishment is the government. It's the people who are pulling the strings of government, at least. And so that's what we've got going in this country right now.
But has it ever been? Maybe it's been delusional for us to think that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that those people understood more about the government and were more in touch with the government, and the government acted in a manner that was acceptable more to them, and that they saw their government as a panacea and not the enemy?
Well, I think it's what you and I have talked about, which is that what's happened is that the middle class of America, their situation has depreciated. Healthcare costs have gone crazy on them. Health insurance is no longer something they can take for granted as part of what the employer provides to them. Pensions have evaporated in the workplace, and people are required to fund themselves from their own savings, which they have find it impossible to have. Child daycare is a problem because everyone is a two breadwinner household now. And so what's happened is that a lot of America is experiencing a much tougher climate, a much tougher budget at home. Things have depreciated. It's not that the government has moved away from them, except that the government regulations maybe have caused this to business environment to cause these things to happen. For whatever reason, they are not experiencing the same comfort level they had in the 1980s. And so as that has moved away from them, they have to blame something and someone, and they blame the system, right? What is the system? The system is the government.
So listen, we've got to take a short hiatus, Sandy, but I would certainly then say to you and the listening audience, if those things you say are true, then why is it that somebody can say a particular party is the reason that that's happening to me?
Yeah.
How can they pin the tail on the donkey?
Right. 844-967-2789.
You know, you can join us, 844-967-2789. It's Sandy Williams and Earl Ingram on The Earl Ingram Show.
The Tap.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June.
Is that what the people are thinking?
I said that's life.
Get
back on top by June. Yeah. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is with us as we wrap up. You know, very eventful 2023. But before we go to the phone line, Sandy.
Well, you know, some people will look at this day and say, you know, the stock market today is setting a record in all likelihood, set one yesterday. And, you know, that part of, if you measure the economy that way, and most of the measurements of our economy are very robust. The only issue in our economy is the architecture of it has shifted because of this change in benefits as provided to people. And the fact that people are under financial stress much more than they used to be, even with more money in their pocket. And so that has created, I think, sort of an angry anti-establishment mood. And the question is, who do you focus your sights on? It's interesting because the Republican Party used to be viewed as the establishment, and the Democratic Party was viewed as the anti-establishment. Donald Trump has become the figurehead of anti-establishment populism. He's kind of been a master as a billionaire, pretending to be there for the people and to speak out for the things that they aren't getting that they should get. When he was in office, all he gave them was a tax cut for the rich, incidentally. But they're listening to him out of anger, right? They're angry, and what they're angry about is the fact that, as far as they're concerned, the system has failed them, and they paint the system as the government. And this whole deep state thing has become, they've become enthralled. The people who are angry and are leaning towards populism have become enthralled with this deep state concept, that there is a deep state filled with professional politicians, professional servants, public servants, who are by nature liberals because they are in government, and you know, if you're a liberal, you're pro-government. If you're conservative, you're against government. And that the strings are being pulled by an elite, sort of an establishment, the people who pull the strings of this deep state government. And it's all fallacious. It's really cockamamie talk, except if you're angry and you become enthralled with the talk of a populist leader who wants you to think this way, and you're prone to think this way because you're angry and upset about the fact that you seem to be on the outside.
But, Sandy, these are people who used to wear on their badges on their sports coats their patriotism. How can you be and say, I'm a patriot?
Oh, well, that's become a part of patriotism. The government is not a patriot. The government itself, this deep state is anti-American, okay? That's all part of this rubric. Can't you hear it? Can't you see it? This is what, the Trump movement is basically saying the government is un-American. It's getting in the way of we Americans exercising our rights, right? Whatever those rights are, which are, it's not discussed specifically which rights are infringed and which rights, but the government is the enemy of America.
The inherent danger with that way of thinking long term, Sandy, is, okay, if I buy that, then the next thing I should ask, you know, especially if I'm saying we got to do away with the Democrats and all of that, the next question I should ask is, well, what am I going to get on the other side?
Yeah, what then? What's the end game? What is the end game of no government? Well, no government is chaos. You know, no government is the loss of the rule of law. No government is corruption at work. People have to think about an end game, but we in America have lost sight of end games. I think the American society has developed attention deficit disorder to the hilt. It's impulsive. It's not thinking about an objective in terms of an end game or a plan to get from here to there. It's simply reactive. And our reactivity is causing us to exercise all kinds of things in the body politic that are against the long-term interest of our children and grandchildren.
And you know, Sandy, and you can just follow it down the line, that way of thinking. All of it. And so I don't know, Calvin, you know, how's your portfolio going? I mean, are you things going great with you? And
you mean in the stock market?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not have any investments currently.
Well, you know what's interesting? The Wall Street Journal carried a thing saying that like 61% of the families in America had participating in the stock market. But of course, the reason for that is
their pensions,
401ks, right, or pensions are in the stock market. And if they have a 401k and if they're smart, what they really have is some index fund, and they don't really have a lot. The average size of a 401k fund in this country is really small, okay? At least the median size. The average size gets bigger because there are some really big ones.
Right.
But only some of those, and many, many, many more of very small ones. So, yeah, the American public does not participate in the stock market in a direct sort of way.
Well, so, and I knew that it was tongue-in-cheek when I asked Calvin. But I will say, Sandy, that the way you have kind of laid out these issues that trouble Americans and their solutions to them are one guy, right? That's where I can't comprehend that you're saying this guy. And I could understand if it was a brilliant guy with ideas.
Well, if he had ideas, he'd have to express them. And if he expressed them, people would be able to test whether they were good or not. But he doesn't express them other than to say he's going to dismantle government. I think that we've been talking all year on this show about the budget that's faced by the median family and how daunting it is to them, even in this period of great prosperity, because of the change in the profile of the middle-class family and the change in the profile of the budget they face regarding, for instance, healthcare costs, regarding child daycare costs, regarding post-secondary education costs and retirement. All of those things have become daunting additions to the budget for the two-income family that used to be a one-income family in the median family of the 70s. How does that a family that is so stressed, what is their reaction? And they can react in a couple of ways. One of them is to react by saying, we need to elect people in government who will reformulate the architecture of this economy to make it so that middle-class families like ours can make it. Or they can decide that government doesn't seem to be working. The establishment seems to be a problem for them, and they can become anti-establishment, angry people.
Well, so when you elect the Bobarts and Greens and others.
There you go.
844-967-2789. We'll return shortly.
And I.
Step
step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents meets again today to discuss what the agenda calls ongoing personnel and legal matters. The board fired former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gao this week after appearing in pornographic videos that surfaced online. The board may revoke Gao's tenured professorship. Smart toys are popular holiday gifts, but they may be recording conversations or collecting personal information or tracking where you are.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire hockey fans may soon have an easier way to watch games at Hobbs Ice Arena. According to a WQOW report, the Eau Claire Parks and Recreation Department is solidifying a deal to put cameras in the arena to stream hockey games and figure skating. The Parks Department would partner with a company called Live Barn, which streams a number of other local ice arenas throughout the county. Fans would be able to subscribe to Live Barn for access, and the games could begin streaming as soon as next season. The Wisconsin Tobacco Line has announced it will quadruple the amount of medicine it gives out to help Wisconsinites stop smoking in 2024. The organization will now offer 8 weeks of medication instead of two as a way to further support residents who are trying to kick the habit. Services through Wisconsin Quitline are available to any resident over the age of 13. The 8 weeks of treatment is a limited offer, and the organization reminds residents that they can also likely get medication to quit smoking through their health insurance. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers head to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Border Battle. The Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, New Year's Eve, inside the big glass box with huge speakers. In downtown Minneapolis, known as U.S. Bank Stadium, both teams at 7-8, still alive for a playoff spot. Matt LaFleur.
I think this is one of the best venues to go play a football game in. Their fans are very supportive of the home team, and they do a great job of making it chaotic for the opposing team, especially for opposing offenses.
College football, the Badgers are in Tampa getting ready for Monday's ReliaQuest Bowl. Kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. Luke Fickell says to beat number 13th ranked LSU, he's counting on Wisconsin's offensive line.
You know, I really like where we are with those five guys, the Jack Nelsons and you know, Riley Malmans and Joe Hubers. It's played a lot of football. In particular, those guys have got to be tough, nasty dudes.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 39 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northwest becoming westerly at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 25 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy, 34, with some scattered light snow showers tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 21.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill.
You know, Sandy, I thought these songs would be kind of appropriate.
It calls
going into the new year.
Reflecting on the old.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My co-host Sandy Williams is with us. And before we go to the phone lines, Sandy, we were reflecting a little bit on, you know, where people are.
Well, I was talking about how, based on the, you know, and it's reflective of the conversation we've had last year about the budget of the median family and all the financial stress that's experienced by the two breadwinning family that has to deal with health care and child daycare and student loans and retirements and rising housing costs and the way their budget has changed as the result of a slow evolution of our economy. Those people can either be reacting constructively and deciding how it is that they would like to change things through the governmental processes, or they can become angry. And anger drives people in the direction of attention deficit. You know, you stop thinking rationally and you start just reacting. And reactivity has driven a lot of people into sort of a populist mode of being anti-government. And we have a politician who's both riding that crest and promoting it, and promoting that way of thinking. I don't think Adderall is going to solve the problem for the economy and for those people. But I do think that if we had more people talking constructively about what steps we can take, first of all, addressing the problem, letting people know that they understand. You know, one of the first things that happens with counselors is they let you know that they understand the problems you've got. And I think the middle America isn't hearing a government that's saying, we understand the stress that you're under. The only person that's behaving and talking a bit like that is Donald Trump, who's simply fanning the flames of their anger and frustration. But if we had people saying, we understand the problems you've got and we're going to be addressing them. Now, Joe Biden has been addressing them, but he hasn't been talking about it enough for people, I think, to actually hear it. And you know, that could maybe shift the gears of middle America away from populism, dangerous, towards constructive politics.
Hey, America, we're talking to you. 844-967-2789. Love to hear your views on the conversation. And let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Thank you very much, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Santa. Happy New Year. First, we, the people, ultimately are the government. I've been saying that since this show started because of the fact that I wish people would just realize that the power lies within us. You know, if you look at the history, the recent history of the United States, you know, you have Bill Clinton, where it very much felt, I would say, similar to what I had been told JFK was about, which was not ask what you can do for what your government can do for you, but what you can do for your government. So they wanted you to be a participant in the government. Then you had George War Criminal Bush, who lied us into two illegal wars, gave tax cuts to the billionaire class, passed Citizens United. And I'm sure you can draw a correlative effect from the breakdown of money in politics to exactly what we have today. But that, even that being said, then you had Barack Obama who came in, who basically could not do what FDR did because of the fact that he had to clean up so much of the disaster that George War Criminal Bush put in place, and the economy and everything else falling apart. Then you got Donald Trump, who again destroys everything. And now you got Joe Biden, who comes in and he's cleaning things up. And if we give him one term, we are the biggest fools on this planet because of the fact that by the time we clean everything up, the Republicans just come in and ruin everything again, because all they believe in is no government. They have not believed in government all the way back to Ronald Reagan, when Ronald Reagan said there's worst words in the English language, as I'm here from the government and I'm here to help you. And it has been an ongoing thing. So people should ask when they elect their politician, do you like government? Because if you like your job, if you like government, then you know what? That tells me you're going to work hard for that company or that job or that position. But if you're someone that says, no, I hate government, then my guess is you're probably not going to do such a great job that you're going to try to destroy that company or that job. And if we destroy government, the vacuum that takes that place are the corporations. And that's exactly what's happening. And you know, Jimmy Carter said a few years ago on Tom Hartman's show, he said that we are living in an oligarchy. We're not living in a democracy anymore because of big money in politics and because of three Supreme Court decisions by a conservative Supreme Court.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for the call. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. I hope I get a fraction of the time that he got. Cleaning things up. Yeah. I heard Sandy and speaking of cleaning things up with this last caller.
Well, I know. Actually, I didn't talk during the last caller, CJ.
Can I get a sentence out?
Well, no. I just want you. I just don't want you to put words in my mouth, CJ. That's all. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, you talk about what a great job Joe Biden's doing. Well, we're at the verge of a third world war. We're watching the border be invaded by people on our terrorist watch list at a record number daily. And you guys saying we're misrepresenting what America wants. We want a legal border. We want a wall with a big door in it.
CJ, hang on. When you say we're misrepresenting what America wants, so you speak for Americans and the view that you and others take, you speak for all of us as Americans. You talk as if there's only one group of Americans and the rest of us don't count because you guys, whoever you are, speak for America.
Well, here's the thing, Earl. You claim that the Republicans are going to destroy democracy. We're still in a primary right now. Republicans are having a primary. You're denying one as Joe Biden hides because of his.
This is the reason that I cut you off. There doesn't need to be a primary. There's the president of the United States is a Democrat. And so since when is the incumbent president being primaried? I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump faced a primary in 2020.
No. So these are the things we're talking about, CJ.
You've denied a Kennedy to campaign, and Democrat states are keeping off a former president. And you claim to care about democracy.
Who's a former president? Who's a former president?
I guess he's talking about Donald Trump. I assume.
Oh, all right.
Okay. So CJ, you know, this is one of the reasons why you're.
Well,
not...
here, let me just say about these cases that were involving Trump and his eligibility. There's a process, and the process is being used. Uh, the
the Supreme Court of Colorado, in a decision, disqualified him. That has been appealed, and there will be a process, and it will be decided judicially and under the law what the right answer is. The Secretary of State in Maine has taken an action. That will be appealed. There'll be a process. We have legal processes, and people are pursuing them. Donald Trump can hardly be accused of not pursuing legal processes. He's pursued them wherever and whenever. There were 65 actions, I think, brought across the country after the 2020 election, trying to contest it and reverse it. And those all went through a process and were determined. So I don't know. I don't think any of those things are undemocratic. I think that they relate to a process.
So Sandy, let me ask CJ. You and I spoke the first half an hour of the show about people being angry and because the government's not working for them. And I guess CJ would be one that we would put in that category based on the things that he says when he calls here. And so, CJ, so if you're dissatisfied with the government, you think that the only answer to that is to put Donald Trump in office and things are somehow going to magically get better for the middle class because he's a Republican?
No, because our allies don't trust us and our enemies don't fear
okay,
us.
Okay, so CJ. Okay, so our allies have to fear us. I mean, our allies have to don't trust us because they trust Donald Trump.
Well, let's go over that one though, because right now in Congress we have a process ongoing in which an ally, Ukraine, at least someone that we became allied with, is clearly developing a questionable trust, as is the rest of the European Union, because they're hanging out there as well with respect to this. And so I don't think we can point partisan fingers at who it is that creates mistrust amongst our foreign allies. And clearly withdrawing funding from Ukraine in the midst of this battle, whatever we think about whether we should have gotten in the battle in the first place, is going to create much more of a specter of weakness than withdrawing from Afghanistan, the thing you keep pointing at some while ago. So, I just think we should all be factual. I think if we were factual, we could get closer to lowering our voices and talking about solutions.
Well, here's a fact. A city of size of Stoughton is coming into our country illegally every day.
Well, let's talk about the border, because the border is obviously a problem, and I don't think
it has been under Trump
for a long time. But in this last year, we've had almost 2 million arrests at the border. So it's not an open border. It's an actively policed border. The year before that, we had 1,700,000 arrests. And so what we have is a very, very strained border. We've got funding problems with respect to the Homeland Security Department that has responsibility for it. And we've got process problems. How do we process all of these people? What do we do with the arrested? And so it's a mess. There's no question about that. But, I don't think there's a magic solution to this. And the wall, I don't think people believe would be a solution to it. And there is ongoing construction of a portion of the wall right now.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, CJ, and Happy New Year. 844-967-2789 is the phone number. Sandy Williams is here, and you can join us.
When I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun will shine for me.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
93.5 The Tap.
Volare. Oh, cantare. Oh, oh. Let's fly way up to the clouds, away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of, where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all this illusion behind. Just like birds of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us, that same number. You know, Sandy, you and I have been at this a while, and these conversations, and, you know, I just think that going into 2024, we've got to get some things done, but you stated, hey, it's an election year, and nothing gets done in the election year.
Yeah, that's one of the horrifying things about Washington is that election years become, it's all about funny business, you know? the preliminary to it is money business, and then it's funny business. Not much usually happens during election years. The party out of power makes sure that the party in power can't accomplish a single thing. And it's all about posturing, political posturing. And so I fear that that could be the case. And we have a lot that needs to get done. And we have issues that the American public deserves to have attention paid to so that they aren't in the situation they're in today. You know, we don't want to leave. And the fact is that we've got a political process that has government under direct assault. We've got a candidate who talks about essentially dismantling government. He doesn't talk about how he's going to remantle the government. What is the government going to look like? What government will be left? If you don't trust the FBI, what replaces the FBI? If you don't trust the court system, what replaces the courts? How do you change that? At least we should be demanding that our politicians tell us if they are going to take over and fix things, how are they going to fix things? We need a reasonable conversation about that. And we need them to address the things that the American public really needs to have fixed, which is that median family and the budget they face needs that the issues associated with that need to be addressed by government.
Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen. Your thoughts.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. So this is what frustrates me a little bit, and honestly it makes me a little sad, is that we seem to have two parties, and people from both sides want to sit and point the finger at the other one, and it's kind of, at this point, like a bunch of little kids in the sandbox saying, that's my shovel. No, that's my shovel. You know, and then the other one says, well, if we had two shovels, it wouldn't be a problem. And because you didn't pass this bill, we don't have two shovels. And it just becomes this back and forth. And it's almost to the point where it makes our country laughable that our government can't function on a basic level. You talk to me, I talk to you. We have different point of views on something. We figure out what the common you know, with, you know, how to meet in the middle somewhere. And all we want to do is point fingers. And meanwhile, our country is unraveling at the seams. And we're like, well, it's the other person's fault. Can't blame us. It's the other person's fault, even though we're not doing anything to fix it either. And so it's just like this back and forth nonsense at this point. And I hear people like CJ call in and he's just spewing and spewing and spewing. Okay, if you honestly believe that, that's not a problem. But not once have I heard him call in and say, I believe this, and this is what I think we should do to fix this problem. And until we get to that point where people are finding solutions to problems, not just pointing out what the problem is, we're gonna have issues, and our country is just going to be worse for it in the long run. That's my opinion on the issue.
Well, Stephen, I think it's well said. And, you know, you're a young guy, 28 years old. You know, the future is yours and your generation. And so, you know, I can't argue with anything you said. I think you're right on point, Sandy.
Well, absolutely. I think what we need is to actually identify problems. That's good. But then we need to talk about constructive solutions to problems. And people can have disagreements about constructive solutions to problems. But as long as they're talking about solutions, we're much more likely to move in the direction of actually solving the problems. But Stephen's right. Politics today is basically all spent identifying problems, stoking anger and stoking frustration, but not presenting solutions. We watched the throes of, you know, the Obamacare process was a painful delivery,
right.
Caesarian at best. And the compromises that went into it, and then the battle after it. I mean, you can see the bloodletting that occurred because our government is so ill-suited to right now to solving problems.
You know, Sandy, it's more than frustrating to me. On yesterday, I talked about an article that was in the USA Today, and it was a guy who grew up in northern Wisconsin with a small family farm. And he was talking about what happened, you know, to his rural roots. And the very same thing we're talking about, that the people who in those areas and are going through struggles. And then he talked about the fact that he's moved into, you know, lived in different cities across the country. He's a writer. But he clearly pointed out exactly what you've been talking about, the anger that the people have. And he said in rural Wisconsin, rural America, because that's his roots.
Yeah.
And the exact same thing we're talking about here. How did it happen? How is it going to be fixed without people being angry, right?
Well, I think on the last show, I was comparing the process of the evolution of our economy and the plight of this middle-class family to the frog that gets put in a pot of cold water. The heat gets turned on, and it gets hot slowly, and the frog barely notices the fact that it's in danger until it's way too hot. And I think that's what's happened here. There's been this evolution of our economy and the architecture of it with respect to benefits in particular and how they're realized before or after the salary received. And it's caused a real problem. And because it happened so slowly, now it seems like a sudden awakening and that's caused anger.
And so if we're in error, 844-967-2789, let us know what your thoughts are. We'll be right back.
Your love has given me wings. Nel blu dipinto de blu. Venite di stare lassù.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine says Russia carrying out the